Hebrews chapter 11. Jeremiah is a little trickier to find, so I wanted us to have it. I'm going to hit some different verses as we go, but I wanted to make sure we're together at the beginning and together at the end. Hopefully we can stay together in the middle, but I tell you what, I love the Lord. And I'm glad that we can come into His house, you know. I'm glad we can come into His house no matter what the circumstance. You know, I can, even when times are good, even when times are bad, in the valley and on the mountain, either way, we can come into God's house, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that His promises are still true. You know, even no matter the things that happen, even in the times when the devil is trying to convince you of things that aren't true, I know that His word is still true. And I know it's true not just because there are words on the page, but these words are alive. And they're in my life. I don't know about you, but you know, the times you feel like giving up, I'm glad there's a fire still in my bones. I'm glad that His, because I can look and see of what He's promised in the past and know that it's still true. I tell you, we had a rough day yesterday.
Blessing.
Probably the hardest day of my life. 3rd day. We went to do an ultrasound. And instead of the joy of hearing a heartbeat, we heard nothing. Brooke was 7 weeks pregnant, and they said it wasn't there, and that the baby was going to die. Right after that, we left to go to her grandmother's house because her grandfather was in the hospital to be with her and visit with her. And then we went to the hospital to be with him. And Friday and yesterday, we spent the night, Friday night, at their house. And he died yesterday morning at 5 a.m. We were all there. We were playing songs. And when All Fly Away came on, he took his flight to glory. Just a few hours later, the baby was dead. The only reason I'm here today is because of God. There is nothing in me right now. And I've been praying to God all day long. I said, if God, if it's up to me, I can't do this. I won't do this. I won't even get up here to try. But You're able, and You're worthy, and Your word's still true. I don't understand why things happen. And I don't need to understand, Brother Preston. I don't feel good. But I don't need to feel good to come up here. Because it didn't feel good for Him when He died for my sins. So that's the only reason I'm here today, church. And I don't know about you. But even in the hard times, I can still draw on a fountain that's greater than I. I can still draw on a God that's bigger than me. And even when I like I said, I questioned things, and the devil was in my ear the last couple days, and he is trying to convince me, and he'll keep doing it, of why I should give up and quit on my God. But I am not quitting, Brother Preston, because He has shown Himself true in the past. He will show Himself true again. So I need your prayers today, church. And if He's given me this and He's going to help me through this, that means this is for you. All right? I'm not doing this for my glory. I'm doing this because God's got something for each one of us today. So I need you to pay attention. That may mean put the phone down. That may be think about lunch later. Because God's got something for us today from His word. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And I want to focus on verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to read that again, because evolution tells us opposite. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, built, constructed by, not chance, but the Word of God, so that things which are seen, everything we see out here, they were not made of things which do appear. And I'm glad it was made by the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I need you more than ever. And Lord, I know that you're with me. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would touch me. Not so I can get any glory, but so that your word would go out today. And Lord, I ask for just undivided attention today. And Lord, I ask that you would just, your Holy Spirit would touch hearts. Lord, I want us to see something today. And not only see it in our head, but that it would hit our heart. And not only that it would hit our heart, but it would hit our feet. And if there's something that you're going to point out today, Lord, I ask that we would act on it. Put away the excuses. Put away the distractions. And I ask that you'd open up the altar today. In Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
God built this world. It is throughout the Bible. He spoke it into existence in Genesis 1 and 2. And we see the building of this world. And then in John, we know that it was Jesus Christ who built this thing. Everything that was made because of Jesus Christ. And in this verse, we understand that. Not, it says, by faith. Not because I was there and because or because you were there, but because the Word of God says so. And that means that God built this world. He did a pretty good job, didn't he? I don't know about you, but I have seen some of the beauties and some of the amazing things that are in this world. And it amazes me. When I go to a place that's new and I see something that's God's created, I'm in awe, Brother Preston. I've seen these things and I say, what a God. This didn't happen by accident. It happened because God designed this world specifically for us to live in. And I'm thankful for that. The world was framed by the Word of God. And one thing I want you to see, something God has shown me, is throughout the Scriptures, we see a common theme is that God is a builder. He is a builder. Framing, that's a building word, right, Brother Tim? That's a carpentry word. We see this, the framing, the building, the construction that God has done in this world. And like I said, I think he's done a good job. Some people say there are things wrong with this world and it will destroy itself. But I'm here to tell you, God, he built this world and he's keeping it in existence. And I'm thankful for that. I don't have to worry about keeping this world going. I don't have to worry about whether the flower will bloom or whether the tree will grow. I'm leaving that up to God because he made it and he can sustain it. We see that God is a builder in this world, number one. But not only did God build this world, he built us. Isaiah 29:16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work of him say that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed of him say that framed it, he had no understanding? See, this the prophet is questioning the people that are questioning God, is what's going on. And in those questions, the prophet Isaiah said, look, you were the one that was made by God. You were the one that was framed by God. Are now you going to question him? That's what he's saying. We know that God put us together. And then Jeremiah 1:5, one of my favorite verses. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. You and I were formed by God. No different than on the than when God reached down and it said he formed man out of the dust of the earth. When it says he formed it, it's like using two hands and squeezing it together. No different than the potter and the clay. I am glad that God formed us. He built us. He framed us. But before that, I've preached on this verse, he got to know you before he formed you. And he sanctified you. He set you apart. And he ordained you. He gave you a certain job. job, a certain purpose, a certain life. I'm glad that he built us for one another. He knew what we would need. He knew who he put us together with, and he made us just right. Not only are we special and individual, but God built us exactly the way for the job and the plan that he had. And I say thank God for that. See, God was answering Jeremiah's excuses before he could even give them to God. And basically, the excuse was gone because God told Jeremiah, you will fit perfectly into the plan that I have for your life, because the forming came after the calling. Right? That's what happened. The job came first, and then he formed. You know what else? God built us for a certain calling and a certain plan, but he also designed us to worship him. Man has been built to worship. And when man doesn't worship Jesus Christ, he'll worship something else, right? We see this world of people worshiping themselves, worshiping things they built. They had a lot of idols in the Old Testament that were literal statues of wood and stone. There's still some statues today, but people will get in that mirror and that'll be the biggest idol they have. Or maybe they'll get that bank account will be an idol, or a career or education, or so many sports, so many different things become an idol, and they worship it. What do you mean? They bow down to it. Maybe not literally, but when that idol says they need to do something, they listen to the idol more than God. Yeah. Right? They bow down to it. That means when the idol says that you can't be here for church, you can't do what God wants you to do, they say, okay, idol, I will do what you say and not what God says.
Yeah. Amen.
Ouch.
That's good. Yeah.
We're not here by accident. We're not here by chance of evolution. But we were designed and formed by the same God that designed and formed this world.
Amen.
God's a builder. He built this world and he built us. Let's go on. Mark 6:3. They're questioning Jesus Christ. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said something they didn't like. And you know what they do? Just like the world does today. Instead of listening to the truth and reasoning it out, they make fun.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing with Jesus. Instead of listening to his preaching and hearing him out and thinking about it, they didn't want to change. They weren't interested in that. They said, isn't this the carpenter?
Yeah.
He's no religious scholar. He hasn't sat at the feet of Gamaliel and others. He hasn't grown up rich like we have. He didn't have the finest education. It's not just the carpenter. But in their making fun of Jesus, in their discrediting him, it tells us what his occupation was. He was a carpenter.
Yeah.
When Jesus came to this earth, we know his father Joseph was a carpenter, but we also know Jesus learned the trade as well.
Yeah.
So even as a man on this earth, he is building things.
Yes.
What's a carpenter do?
Yes.
Sometimes he builds new, right? Yes. Sometimes he fixes things that are broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes he renovates. He's got to tear the whole thing down and start again, right?
Right.
Yeah. Some are little repairs, some are big repairs.
Yeah.
So I'm here to tell you that the same one, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? And we beheld his glory, right? That's what John 1 tells us. Jesus Christ is the Word, right? And Jesus was a carpenter.
Amen.
That means his Word sometimes will do things to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it builds up new. Sometimes it says we need to tear some things down and rebuild.
Yeah.
And sometimes it repairs.
Yes.
You see? Do you see this theme over and over again?
Yeah.
God's a builder. He's a carpenter. Not only that, we'll make another stop. Ephesians 2:20. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And then Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God established the church. You realize this is his church. It's not the ones who put the building up. It's not my church. It's not Jimmy's church. It's not your church. It's the one who died for all of it. It's his church. It's God's. He bought it with his blood, and he continues to be. This is why we're here. It's because of Jesus Christ. He established it, and he built it on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. I don't want to build on anything other than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And it is the church. It is built by the word of God, and it is built through prayer, and it is built by fellowshipping together. And even Acts chapter 2 says they even ate together. And so you put all those things together. That is how the church started. That is how the church grows. And it talks about Jesus. Imagine a mason putting individual stones just right, trying to fit them in so that way they fit to build a wall or something like that. And that's what he is saying right there. And when he is building a church, God fitly frames them together. That means the world may look at me and you and you and you and say, there's no way that all of them should be together. They, you know, we could all take personality tests and figure out what our strengths and weaknesses is, and we'd be all across the board, and this world would say, I'm not sure you guys should be together. But Jesus Christ said, I am putting you fitly framed together so that way your shortcoming will help someone else, and your strength will help someone else. That way we're together in one. I am here to tell you, it is by the power of God that we're here today. And not only that, it is because we are together. Because when I am down, I know that there are people that will pray for me. When I am hurting, there I know there are people that will cry with me. Oh, but when I'm shouting the victory, I know there will be people that will shout the victory with me. And that's why we're here today. We are not here by accident because of our body. We're not by accident because of being here at this church. God has put us together for a purpose. He said, and it's fitly framed. It's tight. Tight tolerance. I didn't make a mistake. Thank God for that. So we can help each other, teach each other, strengthen each other, bear burdens together, yoke ourselves together to build the kingdom of God. So God's a builder. He built this world. He built us. Jesus was a carpenter on earth. God's building the church right now. That's not the only thing he's building. I like this one. One of the things, we had our house built brand new a couple years ago. And we had heard about Aaron being a builder. And we knew he had a good reputation, good character, great man of God, had a great Christian testimony. But you know, we wanted to see his work before we would agree to have him build our house, right? That's what you do. You go, and what he did is he took us to a house that was actually our neighbor's house. He was almost done, just a couple weeks left, and he walked us through that house. And we got to see, and he pointed things out. He said, we could do this in your house. And then I looked at some things very closely, and I thought, my goodness, I can see the detail. I can see the care that he put into that, right? I can tell his workmanship after I walked through that home, down to the smallest detail. And it was after we walked through it, we sealed the deal. We said, all right, Aaron, we'll sign the papers. We'll get things started. So let me ask you this question. We talked about God building this world. Didn't he do a wonderful job?
Amen.
Isn't it marvelous? Have you seen his handiwork? Have you walked through it? Have you inspected it down to the smallest detail? We talked about him building us. Isn't it amazing?
Amen.
You're saying, well, Mike, I've got problems.
Well, the only reason we see or we think about our bodies when something breaks, it wasn't designed to do that. It was designed to live forever. Amen. But sin entered in.
Amen.
And that's why these bodies fall apart.
Yeah, sure.
So that pain is a reminder of sin in this cursed world.
Yes.
But our bodies were designed to live forever. Perfectly. Hasn't he done a good job? Science still can't understand everything that's going on in our body. They try, but they can't.
Amen.
Our body's an amazing machine, isn't it? We've talked about this church and the church. Hasn't he done a wonderful job? I would have never in my life thought that Jimmy and I would be able to lead together. I've said it before. I don't know if he thought the same way, but I know I did. I said, God, that won't work. We're not similar. I don't know him that well. Right? God said, just trust me.
Yeah.
I'll put it together.
Amen.
We'd become great friends.
Yes.
And through tragedy, we come even closer. God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Isn't God a wonderful builder? Not only that, he's building something else. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said before he left, when I leave, I'm going to be building something while I'm gone. Right?
Yeah.
In heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. I'm glad he said that, Brother
Right.
Peter.
Yeah.
To come get us. And take us and show us that place. Let me ask you a question. You've seen this world. You've seen your body. You've seen this church. Are you worried about your home in heaven? You think it'll fit your standards? You think it'll fit your tastes?
Yeah.
You think you have to go there and redesign everything?
Yeah.
Like those shows, they come in there and no matter how nice it is, oh, we got to tear everything out. And they'll ask what the budget is. Oh, we only have about $130,000 to spend. I'm like, are you serious? To fix something? You're crazy. You think our home in heaven will be that? I don't think so. I think the moment I walk in, even if he would have asked me what I wanted, it will not compare to what he's already
yes,
built.
Amen.
Right? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Have you seen his craftsmanship? I'm not worried about the new heaven and the new earth, because I've seen this earth and I can see what he can do. And just imagine this earth without a curse of sin. We can't imagine it. It's all we've known. Doesn't it sound ridiculous to even question God's ability? Even question his qualifications, his skills as a builder? Didn't that seem silly to ask that? I need you to say amen.
Amen.
Good. I've got you now. The hook's set. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Real quick. Real quick. We're almost done. Jeremiah 18. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. God is the potter. And some will say, Mike, you're taking this out of context, because a couple verses down, he explains that Israel is the clay. And he says, as a nation, I will rebuild you. And they'll tell me, Mike, you can't use that. When I'll ask this question, what is a nation made up of? People.
That's right.
Just like a church is made up of people.
Amen.
So anything that God says he'll do to a nation, it's because he'll do to the people of the nation. Right?
Amen.
So if he says, I'll rebuild or I'll remake, it fits Israel and it fits people. I'm glad he's still working.
Yeah, yeah.
God's the potter. We're the clay. But there's a problem with the clay. Verse 4, it says the clay was marred. There is one problem, or probably, if like me, multiple problems with the clay. It wouldn't do what it's designed to do. Maybe it would leak. Maybe it doesn't look right or disfigured. But instead of throwing out the clay, he makes it again. He takes it back to the wheel. He adds more water to it. And with his hands, he starts massaging it and takes that defect out, and he makes it into what it needs to be. See, Jesus never throws the clay out, and I'm glad for that. See, well, that's what a lot of potters would do. And remember when Jesus was betrayed of 30 pieces of silver, and Judas tried to go back and take the money back, and they said they didn't want it. It was blood money. You know, they started getting spiritual then. You know, the chief priests and them, they said, we don't want that blood money. Judas threw it on the ground, and they were worried. What do? We can't put it in the treasury. So they go and they bought the potter's field.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know why it was worth so little? Because the potter, when something didn't work right, they would break it and they would throw it out in the field and throw it out in the field and throw it out in the field. Brother Pete, you can't farm a piece of ground with a bunch of broken pottery all through it. It's no different than all kinds of rocks. You'd have to take it out and you couldn't. So they decided that worthless piece of ground that Jesus' betrayal money bought, he said, you buy it with my blood. The potter's field.
Yeah.
The broken. I'll take it. And I won't discard it, but I'll remake it. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Useless for the world, but Jesus gave his life for it. I already told you. Brooke and I walked through Aaron's home that he was almost done. And that's what sealed the deal. You've already seen God's handiwork. You've seen what he's done. There's no question that God's going to prepare a beautiful place and a wondrous place for us in heaven, right? No question with any of these things. But what about your life? And this is what you need to listen to. Are you letting him work in your life? He's built the world. He's built you.
Yeah.
He's built the church.
Right.
He was a carpenter here. He's building a place in heaven.
Yeah, right.
But are you letting him build you?
Yeah.
And repair you and frame you?
That's good.
Mike, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about our physical appearance. I'm talking about where he has to work out those things.
Yeah.
Work out the disobedience. Work out the anger. Work out the impatience.
Sure.
Work out the areas you don't trust him in.
Yeah.
Work out the areas where you're getting angry with people, right? Work out the air. Do you realize something? You know, we're in a small community. I don't know if you guys realize that. But do you realize I hear some stories about you from out there? And you may hear stories about me, right? We're a small town. We know each other. We've been around here for a long time.
Yeah.
Just the other day, we had a group of people running down people's name in this church. I didn't say a word. But you know, I wonder, is it true? Are they acting differently in here? They've been nothing but good to me. Bless me. Did they really do that? And I just took it in and wondered. And maybe that's happened with you about me. Who knows? But if you are acting differently out there than you are in here, he needs to work that out.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Amen. You need to trust the potter. You know what happens? We tell the potter, hands off. Say, Mike, we wouldn't say that. You know how we say it to him? We say it to others.
Yeah.
We'll say, I've always been that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just have an attitude. I just can't forgive. I just can't serve. You know what the problem is? If we are his workmanship, if we're an example of God as a builder, if we show his work in our life and somebody knows it, imagine we walk into Aaron's house that he's building and we see shoddy work everywhere. We'd say, no way.
Yeah.
We'll keep house on you.
Yeah.
We'll go another route. What are people seeing with you and I?
Yeah.
Are they seeing the great master builder, the great loving potter, working a work in our life? You know what I love to hear? I don't like to hear what I heard the other day, but what I love to hear are things like this. When the person's not around, they'll say, you know what, so-and-so, they're different.
Yeah.
They're changed. I remember them from a long time ago. Isn't that wonderful to hear that?
Amen.
And then that opens the door. See, the problem is the door is pretty shut when they're saying, hey, so-and-so did me wrong. Or so-and-so lashed out in anger with me. Right? How do you witness after that? You've got a mess in front of you. You just have to pray, God help. But when they say so-and-so's different, then I can just step right in and say,
yeah.
I'll tell you why they're different.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I'm different.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a master builder that has been working on me. He didn't throw me out.
Yeah.
He didn't discard me. He didn't get rid of me. But when he touched my heart in love, and he died for my sin, and he died for your sin, and he is working on me, praise God. There are things, there are still mars in my life. But I pray to God that instead of giving excuses, I submit to the potter's hand. And it doesn't feel good. And it's not fun. But it's in those times. And a lot of times, it's through trial and tribulation. You say, God, I need you right now. Help me right now. Draw me closer to you. Fix what's broken in my life. And there his loving hands come around. And he starts slowly molding us into what we need to be. But only if you allow.
That's right.
He won't force it.
Bless the Lord.
God's a builder.
Yes.
And he wants to build you and I.
Yeah.
He wants to fix things that are broken.
Yes.
He wants to strengthen things that are weak and take care of the imperfections.
Amen.
I don't know about you, church. I want people to look at me and say, I don't know how it's happened. And then I can say, I'll tell you how.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Bless you.
It's not Mike.
Yeah.
Mike's weak. Mike wants to get angry. He wants to say the first thing that comes to his head. But God's been working with me on that.
Yeah.
Preston, there are times where I can look back and say just a few years before, I wouldn't have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And I can look to God and say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me with that, Lord. There are times where I would have joined in the gossip. But not to sound proud, there's still areas where something happens. And you know what? I'm in God's Word, and I'll hit one of those verses. And you know what? I'll know it's true.
Yeah.
I'll know it's real, and I'll know He can help me.
Yeah.
And I'll just go to the next page. I don't want to read that one. But let's go to the next chapter where it gets something I like. Right?
Yeah.
I want to hear about heaven.
That's right. Bless you, brother.
Well, maybe the preacher's up there preaching. And he touches you with something. What are you doing? Are you saying, not today, Lord? We're going to submit to the hands of the potter. The same loving hands.
That's right.
The same nail-scarred hands. He loves you today. And I'm here to tell you something, church. We want revival. You know where revival starts?
That's right.
In our lives and in our hearts. When they can see a difference. I'm telling you what, it does no good if you convince me that you're saved while you're in here. It doesn't help me.
Right.
It helps when you preach a funeral, but it doesn't really help. This world needs to see that we're different.
Yeah.
And that means we have to be honest. Honest with our shortcomings and honest where He's brought us from. And we need to definitely be honest with God and say, God, I need your help.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Do you trust His workmanship? If you are trusting Him to build your home in heaven, then why aren't you trusting Him to build your life where He wants you to be? Same builder, same process, same truth.
Church, I need work. I'm still an open renovation project.
Yeah.
The dust is still flying.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be that way all the way till I get to heaven.
Right.
But I'm glad that there are things that used to trip me up over and over and over again that don't trip me up anymore.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, Mike, you must have matured. No. No. No, God took it.
Yeah.
That's all I can explain.
Amen.
He added in the love and different things that needed to take its place.
That's right.
Yeah.
Will you let Him do that with your life? Number one, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there isn't a time where you look back and you have been touched by the message, by the cross, and His sacrifice, if there hasn't been a time where you've called upon the name of Jesus to save your soul, you are lost. I don't care what you've done, what ritual, what pastor told you. I don't care what membership role you're on, what you signed up for, how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And there needs to be a time when your life changed.
Yeah.
It was one way, you met Jesus, and now your life's a different way.
Yeah.
Some things were immediate, other things He's still working on. And we're touching on the things He's still working on today. If you know Jesus Christ, is He working on you? And if you say no, it's not because He doesn't want to. It's not because God's not willing to. It's because you're not.
Yeah.
And if you say hands off, He'll take His hands away.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
But guess what? You're still that marred clay. I don't know about you. When I get to heaven, I want to be as close to Jesus as I can be.
Amen.
Because that's what this world needs.
Yeah.
This world has data, facts, figures, everything else. But what they don't have is Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what breaks it all.
Sure. Yeah.
Breaks the stats. Breaks the psychology books, breaks everything else. But the only way that works is through one life at a time. And that life is your life and my life. But if we want to be a difference to this world, it takes Jesus working on us. Because the flesh will not save anything. Won't save you, won't save anyone out here.
Amen.
Some of you, maybe this week you know some damage that was done. What you need to do, you need to submit to the potter and then also pray about that situation.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to have to do? Some people are going to have to apologize. And they're going to have to humble down and say, that was stupid. I lashed out, I shouldn't have. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And then say, God's still working on me. But that wasn't acceptable. You know, we have to do that from time to time. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. I didn't say who I heard stories about the other day, and I'm not going to. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. It's gossip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It could be true.
Right.
But think about it. Was it you? Did I hear a story about you? Could be. But don't worry about me thinking bad at you. He knows everything about you.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart.
That's right.
He's got stories on you as well.
That's right.
But He's not holding it over your head.
Sure.
He's saying, listen, come back to the wheel.
That's right. Yeah.
Come back to the wheel. As you get a song, I want to open up these old